Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Ahoy there, come aboard, yes, come aboard the old adventure ship for BBN's Captain's Club. I'm Captain Chesterpeake.
And I'm Sparkle, your club secretary. Now, while everyone's getting settled in the club area, I'd like to ask the captain a riddle.
You mean we're going to begin club time with a riddle?
Well, just a little warmer-upper, sir.
Okay, what's the riddle?
Well, what is this, sir? It is a mode of transportation which doesn't travel too fast.
A mode of transportation?
Yes, sir, and it can take a lot of big people on exciting trips, and little people, too.
Oh, I think I'm beginning to know this one, you know. Sparkle, this riddle is a toughy one.
Well, now, on these daily trips, the little and big people learn a lot from two stories.
Uh-oh, I think I know. Do these little and big people hear more than just one riddle, but maybe four riddles?
Aw, Skipper, you're catching on.
Oh, my. Let me see. And the little and big people learn from a Bible quiz?
So, sir, the answer to the riddle is?
Why, it's the old adventure ship, taking jillions of little and big people on a trip to the Sea of Adventure.
And clubbers, you know what? Well, we're all set for another trip.
Ahoy, Captain. All clubbers are aboard.
Aye, aye, boatswain. Sparkle, Mr. Joey's engineering report, please.
Mr. Joey report, the battle of having enough steam up is won, and all needed repair work in engineering is done.
Oh, well, then, Sparkle, we need a little signal. We're going to get underway.
Aye, aye, sir. One signal it is, sir.
Clubbers were underway and headed into the Sea of Adventure.
It's adventure time. Yes, boys and girls, it's time for adventure. And here's our friend Bill Collins with a brand new adventure.
Well, hi. Here's the first episode in The Sugar Creek Gang Goes Camping. Or The Lost Campers, really. That's the title of it. There was a big flood in Sugar Creek that spring. The worst flood old Sugar Creek ever had, I guess. Do you remember the time we went to see Old Man Paddler at his cabin in the hills? In fact, I just finished telling you about it, if you've been listening regularly. I guess there never was a snowstorm like that one either. It snowed and snowed and kept on snowing nearly all winter. And that's the reason why there was such a big flood in Sugar Creek that next spring, when all that snow melted. If there hadn't been a flood in which little Jim and I almost got drowned, then later on in the summer when the gang was up north on our camping trip, maybe Poetry and Dragonfly and I, all three, would have been drowned. Poetry and Dragonfly and Little Jim being some of the names of the boys in our gang. I guess you know the rest of us. Big Jim and Circus and Little Tom Till's the newest member of our gang. So before I can tell you about the tangled up adventures we had up north, I'll have to give you a few words about the famous Sugar Creek Flood. You see, all that snow melting into water and running across the fields and down the hills into Sugar Creek made him so angry that after he woke up out of his long winter sleep, Sugar Creek that is, he got out of bed, creek bed, and ran wild all over the country. His fierce old brown water sighed and hissed and boiled and roared and spread out over the cornfields and the swamp and the bayou like a savage old octopus reaching out his long brown water fingers. He caught pigs and cows and logs and barns even. and whirl them all away downstream, turn them over and over, and smash them against rocks and cliffs. Well, a boy isn't always to blame for all the trouble he gets into. Certainly little Jim and I weren't to blame for there being so much snow that winter, and we couldn't help it that it rained so hard and so much in the spring and caused the flood that was actually the worst flood in the history of Sugar Creek. Although, maybe I shouldn't have put little Jim into a big washtub and towed him out through the shallow water to his dad's hoghouse, which was standing in water about 2 feet deep. But little Jim's kitten was up on the top of the hoghouse, meowing like everything, and it looked like the water might get higher and higher. Maybe the kitten, which was a very cute blue and white one with an all-white face and half-white tail, would be drowned, we thought. So we decided to rescue it before the water crept up any higher, and we'd had just as well had a lot of fun while we were doing it. Oh, even a boy knows better than to make a raft and float out into a mad creek, and we wouldn't have tried to do such a silly thing, but what we did do turned out to be almost as dangerous. You see, little Jim's dad's hoghouse was a low, flat-roofed, new hoghouse and was standing in a very quiet water, which had backed up from the bayou into their barnyard. It didn't look a bit dangerous to do what we decided to do. In fact, it wasn't when we started to go out to where the kitten was, and it wouldn't have been at all if the dike away up along Sugar Creek hadn't broken a wall of water about 3 feet high. It came rushing upon us and carried us away. Well, I guess I better start at the beginning of the story. Even old man Padler, the kind, white-whiskered old man who lives up in the hills and was one of the pioneers of the Sugar Creek Territory, can't remember any flood that was worse. Oh, and that reminds me, that old man knows so many important things, and he can tell some of the most exciting tales of the Sugar Creek of long ago. Maybe someday, if I can, I'll put a bug in his ear and see if I can coax him into telling about the terrible blizzard of 1910, and of old Tom, a trapper, whom the Indians got jealous of, even earlier than that, because he caught so many more beavers than they did and shot him through the heart with one arrow one morning while he was setting his traps. Old man Padler has told his boys that story many a time, so we'd almost know it by heart. Well, after we'd saved the old man's life that cold, snowy day, which I just finished telling you about, and in winter rescue, and after my dad and Circus's dad and a lot of other men had waded through the storm up into the hills to get us, and after we finally got home safely the next day, it began to snow and snow, and all the roads were blocked. We had to actually dig a tunnel through the big drift next to our barn before we could get in. After a while, though, a nice long while in which Charlotte Ann kept on growing and learning to say daddy and sit up without being propped and with a pillow, well, spring began to come. First, here'd be a nice warm day, and then a cold one. And then there'd be a lot of rain, more rain, and a warm day, and there began to be a lot of slushy snow everywhere. Finally, one day in late March, old Sugar Creek started to wake up from his long winter's nap. About a week before the actual flood, when Sugar Creek was still frozen, our gang was standing on the big bridge that goes across the deepest and widest part, looking down at the dirty, snow-covered, slushy-looking ice, when all of a sudden we heard a deep, rumbling roar that started right under the bridge and thundered all the way up the creek toward the spring, sounding like a big, angry thunderclap with a long, noisy tail dragging itself across the sky. Little Jim cried out like someone had hurt him. "What's that?" He looked like he was afraid, which he does sometimes. And Big Jim said, "That? Well, that's the ice cracking. It's breaking up. In a few days, maybe it'll all break and crack up into a million pieces and go growling downstream. And when it does, boy, oh boy, it'll be something to look at. See those big, ugly scars on that old elm tree over there? Way up high, almost to the first limb? That's where the ice crashed against it last year. See where the paint is knocked off the bridge abutment down there? The ice was clear up there last year." Crash roars. The ice was breaking up all right. We could hear it because, well, it was a hot day and all the snow was melting too. We stayed there watching Sugar Creek's frozen old face, and I thought about all the nice fish that were down under there, and I was wondering if maybe the radio report was right, that it was going to rain for a week beginning that very night, and what had happened to the little fishies who got lost from their parents and in the swift current were whirled away downstream to some other parts of the country. Well, the radio was right. It began to rain that night, and it kept right on. The ice melted and broke and began to float downstream and gathered itself into great big chunks of different sizes and shapes and looked like a million great big giant-sized ice cubes out of somebody's refrigerator. Only they acted like they were alive, and with the old brown water of Sugar Creek pushing them from beneath and squeezing its way out through the cracks between pieces and running over the top, churning and boiling and grinding and cracking and roaring and sizzling and fussing like an old setting hen. I tell you, it was a great sight to see and great to listen to. We had the feeling all the time that something was going to happen. And something did happen. Not that day, but pretty soon after that, on a Saturday. I'd gone over to Little Jim's house on an errand for Mom, although she and I had just made up an errand, so I'd have a good excuse to go over there. You see, Little Jim's pet bear had to be sold to the zoo because it was getting too big to be a pet and was very cross and might get angry someday and hurt somebody. Little Jim's parents had bought a little blue and white kitten for him so he wouldn't be so lonesome. As I told you, the kitten's face was all white and had a half-white tail, making it about the prettiest kitten I ever saw. I had in my hip-high rubber boots when I came sloshing into Little Jim's backyard about 2 o'clock that afternoon, just as he was finishing practicing his piano lesson, which was a hard piece by somebody named Liszt. The sun was shining down very hot for a spring day, and I could hear Sugar Creek sighing about a fourth of a mile down the road, and I wished we could go down there and watch the flood. But our parents wouldn't let us stand on the bridge anymore because it wasn't safe. Some of the bridges farther up the creek had actually been washed out. The water had filled up the old swamp and the bayou that was on Little Jim's dad's farm and had backed clear up into their barnyard, making their straw stack look like a big brownish-yellow island in a dirty brown lake.
Well, the families at Sugar Creek are experiencing the spring thaw. Water, water everywhere from the melting of the winter ice. Bill Collins will be aboard on our next cruise with more on the Sugar Creek gang and the lost campers. Oh, please don't miss it.
Captain Chesapeake, sir, we'll open Riddles in the Middle just as soon as you get over here.
Well, get your riddles ready. I'm a-comin'. Now that I've made it over here to the starboard wing of the bridge, what might the first riddle be?
Well, the first riddle is right here, sir. Why do skeletons stay home every night?
Oh, why do skeletons stay home every night?
Yes, sir.
Well, because they have nobody to go out with.
Oh, yes, sir.
Is that right?
That's the answer I have.
Yeah, well, we have so many of those.
Well, number two, what is the definition of a bookkeeper?
Oh, the definition of a bookkeeper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they keep books.
Well, they do, sir. They keep library books, too.
Oh.
They're bookkeepers. All
they're
right.
They're really bookkeepers, aren't they?
And number three, what is a cartoon?
Oh, we've had that not too long ago.
Yes, sir.
What is a cartoon?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a song about automobiles.
Oh, you remember.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, let's see what you do with number four, sir. What are Cheerios?
Oh, what are Cheerios?
Uh-huh.
There's several answers to that, too, but here's one. What tiny people use for life preservers?
Oh, well, you sorted that one out, okay, sir. But you know what? You did three. You got three correct riddle answers out of four. Not bad.
Next on BBN's Captain's Club, our Bible quiz. I'm the ship's communications officer, and Sparkle will be joining us, and I'll be asking a Bible question that she will answer correctly, or she'll miss it.
Oh, it's very likely I'll miss it then. I'll feel sad.
Now, you shouldn't feel sad if you miss the question, for you have a pretty good record by having the right answers.
And for that, I'm very thankful, sir. But now, what is the Bible question for today?
All right, so you want to get to it. Here's the Bible question. Who was Queen Esther's husband?
Who was Queen Esther's husband? Her husband was King Ahasuerus.
That's right. King Ahasuerus was Queen Esther's husband. Clubbers, did you have the correct answer? The quiz answer can be found in the Old Testament, Book of Esther, Chapter 2, and Verse 12. And that's our Bible quiz for today.
Well, Miss Sparkle, I'd say the quiz question was a bit tougher than usual.
Well, I'd say it was, sir, but my remember came up with the answer pretty quick.
Yeah, I'd say it did.
Well, Mr. Skipper, sir, taking a look at the clock, well, we'd better turn the helm of the old adventure ship over to Uncle Charlie. It's later than you think.
Oh, me, oh, my, 'tis true. We're getting behind on our club schedule.
Well, fellas and girls, it's time to allow Uncle Charlie to take control of the ship and guide us into another life-changing story. Here he is. Oh, please listen closely.
I'm Uncle Charlie, and I have another interesting story all ready for you to hear. So pull up a chair or just lay on the floor and listen to today's story. It's called The Choice. Carol and Kurt Wyman were 12-year-old twins. Their brother Doug was a year older, and all three were active in the junior youth group of their church. Somehow, Carol had the opinion that she knew all there was to know about everything. But she was soon to learn that she knew very little about some very important matters. One evening, Doug and Kurt were enjoying a game of Monopoly in their room when Carol came in.
What are you kids doing?
We're playing a game, so go on, leave us alone.
So, who's bothering you?
You are.
I suppose I bother you just by coming into the room.
You said it, we didn't.
That wasn't funny, Doug. You're so smart, you don't even know how to play this game. You're not supposed to have those cards showing like that.
Get out of here, Carol. We were doing all right till you came along.
Carol, what's the trouble in there?
Nothing, Dad. These boys think they're smart.
Make or leave us alone, Dad. We were playing all right till she came in here.
Come on out here, Carol.
Why is it always me? Why don't you pick on the boys sometimes?
Carol, I want you to leave your brothers alone.
But I wasn't doing anything to them. I was just showing them how to play the game.
Did they ask you?
No, but... Oh, all right.
One Sunday evening after church, the Wymans were having a light lunch in their kitchen.
Want some pickles on your sandwich, Kurt?
No, thanks. I just like mustard.
You should try these pickles, though. They're the ones Aunt Ellen made, and are they ever good. Here, try one.
I said I didn't want any.
But they're good, aren't they, Doug?
I like them, but he doesn't, so what?
Oh, you boys are so silly.
Now that's enough. Either talk pleasantly or be quiet.
Say, did I hear correctly that Todd Jenkins was made president of the senior youth group?
Yeah, the seniors had their elections tonight. Diane Riley is vice president.
Mm-hmm.
We're having our elections at junior youth group next week.
I'll be surprised if a boy gets elected president of our group.
You'd like to be president, wouldn't you, Carol?
Sure. If I were president, we'd have much better meetings. I get sick of the dragged-out kind we have now. I can't see letting kids lead to singing when they're not any good at it.
But it's a training program, Carol. If they aren't given a chance, they'll never be good.
It takes practice to be a good leader, you know.
But some have it and some don't. Why should we suffer through with those who never will be leaders?
Oh, Carol, you think you know it all? Who's to decide whether they'll be leaders? You?
Of course not, silly. It's quite obvious that some won't make it.
Oh, I disagree with you there, Carol. Some of the most unlikely persons have become leaders. And you must never overlook what the Lord can do with a person who is wholly yielded to Him.
That's right. The important thing is to give everyone a chance to take part.
But I still think we'd have better meetings if the kids who are good at it took charge.
Carol was very busy the following week. She made phone calls and went to the homes of those who hadn't attended regularly for several weeks. Very pleasantly, she invited each one to be present the next Sunday. On Sunday evening, Carol stood at the door of the church to see who came. She was proud to see six of those she had invited. Mr. Franks, the youth sponsor, soon called the meeting to order.
Attention, everyone. Let's get started with a good, lively song. All right, now we're ready for nominations for president. Bill?
I nominate Roger Norton.
Roger Norton has been nominated for president. Are there any others? Yes, Mary?
I think Jim Martin would make a good president.
All right, and Ken?
I nominate Denny Sparks.
We have Roger Norton, Jim Martin, and Denny Sparks. Are there any other nominations? Then the nominations will be closed. Carol, will you and Phil hand out the ballots and act as tellers?
After the meeting, Carol was so upset that she could scarcely sit through the evening service. She was plainly disappointed. And when the family reached home after church, she broke down.
What's the trouble, Carol?
Oh, she's mad about the election.
She can speak for herself, Doug. Is that what has you upset, Carol?
Sort of.
You want to talk about it? Who was elected?
Denny Sparks is president. Think of it. He's so bashful he can hardly look at anybody. And I wasn't even nominated. Not even by my own brothers.
Well, haven't your brothers a free choice? Must they nominate you?
You didn't nominate us, did you?
No, but I...
What made you think you should be nominated, Carol?
Because I work harder than the other kids, and I do all the things I'm supposed to, and I brought a lot of kids out to the meeting.
Well, that's all very good, Carol, but tell me, why did you want to be president?
Well, I...
She wanted to boss everybody.
I did not. I just thought I'd be a good president.
Well, that's honest enough, but now it's apparent that the other kids thought someone else would be better.
Oh, a lot of girls have a crush on Denny.
That's not why he got it.
No, a lot of the guys voted for him, too.
I'm sure there was a good reason for it. What qualities did the kids see in Denny to make them want him for president? Do you boys know?
Well, he's always nice to everybody.
Yeah, and he's good to work with. He doesn't take things over and do everything by himself.
Well, that sounds good to me. Do you see these traits in Denny, Carol?
Sure, he's nice. I didn't say he wasn't.
I don't know why you feel so bad, Carol. Everybody voted for you for secretary. The kids know you're a good worker.
Well, Carol, you didn't even mention you were secretary. I'm proud of you. I know you'll do a good job.
Hello? Oh, hi, Denny. Sure, just a minute. It's for you, Carol.
Hello? Next Sunday? What about? But you're president. Well, yes. Yes, if you want me to. I think that would be good. I'm sure I can. Yes, I will. Okay, Denny. Goodbye.
What was that all about, Carol?
Denny wants the officers to meet with Mr. Franks an hour before our youth meeting next Sunday. He wants us to give our ideas on programs and projects and anything at all about our group.
That sounds just like Denny. He'll never let you forget that it's your group and your meeting.
It sounds like a good start to me. I think your youth group will grow with everybody working at it.
It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said we Christians are all members of the body of Christ. Just as our eyes, our ears, our hands and feet are parts of our own bodies, and each is important to the body, so we are all important to Christ. No one is to be overlooked or looked down upon.
With a good sponsor like Mr. Franks, and a good president like Denny, and Raj for vice president, and Carol for secretary, we ought to do something great.
I'm going to invite the Larson kids. They'll come if I ask them.
Sure, and we'll have to think of a good project.
You know what? Denny might let all the kids make suggestions. We could write them on slips of papers and hand them in, and then vote on them. What do you think, Carol?
It sounds like a good idea to me. And it was a good idea to make Denny president. If I were in charge, I'd run everything my own way, and no one would have cared what was going on. Dad, I wish you'd show me that scripture you were talking about.
You mean the one in 1 Corinthians?
Yeah, that would make a good subject for our first meeting, and I'd like to tell Denny about it.
I'm sure he'll appreciate any ideas you can give him.
You know, I've been sort of a snob, and I needed the letdown I got tonight. Denny has what it takes, and I don't. I'm glad I found that out.
You may not have what it takes now, Carol, but with the humble attitude you're showing, and by letting God have His way, you're sure to get what it takes, and soon.
That's about it for today's club time. Now we've shared the two bigger than big stories. Sparkle has hit me with a few tricky riddles.
And Skipper, don't forget that tougher than tough Bible quiz question the communications officer asked me.
Oh, that was a mind-boggling one.
Well, club time is over for today, but we'll be along with another club time, well, just as good or better. Now, when you hear the bellowing of the ship's horn, hurry down to the pier and come on aboard. We're going to be looking for you.
Clubbers, put God and His will first in your life.
Bye-bye.
The Captain's Club is a radio presentation of the Bible Broadcasting Network.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.